John.
Thank you. Yeah, I realize some of you think it's an oxymoron to say there's a conservative campaign finance advocate in front of you, but that's really the position I'm coming from. When I started Take Back Our Republic after running conservative campaigns for 20 years, I was told, you know, I'd have one friend, and that would be Walter Jones, congressman from North Carolina. That was it. My first meeting with Walter, not that I usually talk after that meeting, but was please find me some friends. And I knew we had at least one because I knew Dave Bratt was like-minded, having just come off his campaign the previous year. But I want to thank Commissioner Weintraub for focusing on the two issues in this hearing that really do unify conservatives, and that is foreign money, and then to a lesser degree, corporate. And I'll touch on that a little bit. We went to Walter Jones and Dave Brad and started talking to people, and I'm happy to announce that today we have 46 Republican co-sponsors on a bill that came out of a white paper we posted last year on closing the credit card loophole. That bill is H.R. 4177, the Stop Foreign Donations Affecting Our Elections Act. That bill is now being backed by everyone on the committee it has to go through in the House. I mean, this is a piece of legislation that could at least make the House, potentially even this year, to the degree that anything can make it through the House right now. And this was partly by getting on some of these unifying themes. The common agreement that no one wants foreign money taking over any part of the government decision-making process. I'm going to focus more on foreign money today, and then touch on corporate a little bit at the end. Unfortunately, we heard a little bit from Sheila on how much we don't know on foreign money. You know, they do a great job of chronicling anything that you can find, and unfortunately, because foreign money is illegal, the ways that it gets into the system are very hard to quantify. But let me say that if we can all agree that foreign money is unconstitutional, if anyone needs to go back through the wording on that, happy to do it with you offline, and undesirable, let's talk about what, from a former political consultant's background, we do know. We do know that people right now, all over, foreign and domestic, know that political investment is a very good investment. The chance to put millions of dollars into political contributions with the possible net result of billions of dollars in taxpayer money coming back to you through either policy changes or actual special interest money is a tremendous investment. So let's start. That's point one we know. Point two we know is that there are, believe it or not, unscrupulous political consultants who, if you find them a way to get money into a system, will do it to make money. The math is very simple here. If you can find a way to get $1 million from somewhere and can do a media buy with it, you get $150,000. If you start talking tens of millions, you're pretty well off pretty quickly. Certainly, I love most of my former colleagues in the political consulting realm, but I promise you people jump on that. And that's even before you get to things like scam packs, where basically you just put money into a pack and keep it all for yourself. So, you know, there's the temptation here to bring money in, and some who will readily jump on it. Third thing we know is there are foreign interests who are willing to hack into government servers, into political party servers, even worse things, you know, carry on deadly acts. I mean, this kind of naive concept that, well, do you really think anyone would channel money in from abroad to affect U.S. policy is just almost incomprehensible when I hear that from people. I mean, there are very unscrupulous players who benefit greatly from changes in U.S. policy. Now, this isn't always, someone trying to cause harm to the U.S. It could just be trying to have competitive advantage over U.S. companies, etc. But the third item is that's there. Fourth item I'd say is there are clearly avenues to connect the first three. There are ways to have an unscrupulous political consultant realize there's someone overseas who wants to get money through the system that will benefit them. So while we don't know, we can't put dollar figures on what's in, I would say look at the country and our government as a house, and look at where the doors and windows are unlocked and open for this kind of activity, and start trying to shut them. First of all, the thing we're addressing with our current bill, you can move enormous amounts of money completely undetected through unverified credit card contributions. Now I'm asked how much is coming in. I have no idea. I know hundreds of millions of dollars are coming through in unverified credit card contributions, and I think it's naive to say, well, yeah, I'm sure no one will take advantage of that system. Now, I want everyone to grasp this for a minute. When you go online to purchase something, if you don't know the zip code of the credit card you're using, you can't purchase it. That's a very simple bank check that we're all thrilled is in place, anyone who's ever lost a credit card. And if you make a mistake, you can quickly correct it. I'll type the digit wrong in a zip code. Let me fix that. It's a 2, not a 0. So in essence, what campaigns started doing in 08 was turning this system off. You can opt out with your banks, at which point, as long as a gift card number works, the contribution goes through. Try to think of this: if someone has millions of dollars overseas and wants to get it through, if I were an unscrupulous political consultant who only cared about making money, didn't care about U.S. law, was even foreign-based, I would say set up a room full of people, retype over and over the same credit card number, $200 at a pop, so it's never reportable, it's never detectable, and flood it into an entity big enough that it won't be noticed. You obviously don't do this in a $50,000 state legislative race where someone wonders why money's flooding in. But that avenue's there, and is so easy. Secondly, you can buy a channel in, as the Saudis just did with Uber. You know, buy a big chunk of a U.S. company and start to flood money in. And there are all kinds of other reasons the Saudis or any overseas interest might have interest in the U.S. But, you know, and I'll refer to longer articles in that process. But if you're going to put a few billion dollars into a U.S. company to get a seat from which you funnel money into U.S. campaigns, that's another door that's open now that has to be addressed. The credit opens. Secrets last year put out a report just on C4s that are breaking the 50% limit on giving. Well, obviously, if you've got a C4 that doesn't have to disclose donors, that's one of many dark money avenues that can be used, that if you were overseas and wanted to get money in and knew that a C4 could do it without you being reported, and by the way, they're actually spending well over half of their money on political activity, that's an inviting avenue as well. So we want to look at how we can close some of these doors and make it difficult. Now, some tell me, look, there's no way to stop the flow of foreign money. There's so much of it. It'll get through one way or the other. Well, I tell them the same thing I've told all 9 of my children. I can't stop you from doing bad things. I can only make it as inconvenient as possible and hope that in the end you don't do it. So we can close some of these doors. 4177 simply requires that candidates and groups have to use the normal bank procedure for verifying credit cards. And let me say, too, some conservatives like this bill because it played into their narrative on concerns that President Obama's campaign was funneling money in through foreign entities. So let me just put that on the table. That's some motivation. However, I actually went to one of the people who developed this system for President Obama, sat down with her in New York to say, I understand why you did this. This was to prevent, if you have mistakes on handwritten sheets, people filling out, trying to contribute an event, you can't track me. There's no accusation of this being set up for this reason. Problem is, once a system is in place like this and people have 7 years to figure it out, it invites corruption. So I just want to be clear, this isn't an attack on why the system was set up. And she was actually very comfortable in understanding. She's going to do a joint event with me most likely next month to say, hey, here's why this creates a problem. Here's why we set it up. Here's the problem. So I just don't want to sound partisan on that. But it's a real problem. So that's certainly one door we can close very easily, and I hope we will. And as I said, each member of the House Administration Committee is supportive of this now, all signing on as co-sponsors or sponsors, bipartisan. And so that's one we can fix, and that eliminates one avenue. Certainly, I wholeheartedly support the H.R. 5515 just put out by Kilmer and Hanna, which would require someone running a C-4, C-3 to verify that no foreign money is being used on electioneering activity. That just seems very basic. Now, can that person lie? Yes, but let's at least tell them, you know, you're signing off on something. And I guarantee you, as someone who never realized how much money you have to spend on legal fees to run a C-3 and C-4 until this year, lawyers will be very scared to let them sign that if there's any chance of foreign money going through the system. So again, that's another door to close. Let's keep closing off these doors. I think that's a great bill. You know, look, we just had a case in San Diego where a political consultant figured out a way to have a Mexican businessman get $500,000 into San Diego local race. You know, clearly they're going to look for these avenues, and let's not make the C4 an easy one or any other dark money sources. So, and think about these two proposals. I mean, they both talk about either using a procedure that's already in place or self-policing. I mean, these are the kind of first steps I hope we can agree on, and before we get into some tougher disclosure issues, admittedly. Now, let me touch just a little more briefly on corporate giving in general, because you heard some of the numbers, and certainly corporate giving tends Republican. It doesn't necessarily tend conservative, though, and that's why I just would like to say so many of the conservatives who'd worked with me on primaries and all are very concerned about the chamber's involvement in primaries. So this isn't a strict partisan effort. When I first sat down with Dave Brat, he said he wanted to base his campaign on crony capitalism. And I said, sounds a little inside to me. I don't know if it'll work. Well, for all of you who hate political consultants, the candidate was absolutely right. The consultant was absolutely wrong. Everyone got crony capitalism, even before it was in use as much. And it played off this idea that Republicans, in Republican primaries, conservatives had seen the chamber and other groups come in and just overwhelm their candidates and defeat them. So this is actually the idea of small business being a better alternative and truer conservative, if you're a conservative, than the chamber, who, as we heard, tends Republicans but gives to the winners. I mean, that's the bottom line. That is actually a motivator for a lot of conservatives, too. And I think the other thing to think about with corporate giving is just the selection of candidates and the idea that kind of deals are being cut in this town and we're all being left out here. I mean, I think some of the absurdity on the corporate giving is, the chamber in Arizona, Ohio, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin has given six figures in the U.S. Senate candidate to both sides. It's just, okay, so whoever wins, they've got. And that's the angst you see from a lot of conservatives. Gosh, they're all the same. They've already kind of paid everyone, and they're going to do whatever the corporate interest is. So I know it's tempting to think, well, conservative versus environmental, conservative versus union, they're the conservatives. But there's real grounds for agreement there, and certainly on some of the government contractor issues. So in closing, I'd like to ask a couple things of the commissioners, and you hate to do that to your host, to make requests as a guest, but on a couple items, I would say for the Republican members, please try to look at cases like the one Chair Ravel put out last year that I wrote about in Breitbart on the $300,000 given by a porn company that was formed by a German who was under indictment for tax evasion. I don't think they should be giving $300,000 to affect U.S. elections. I'm not sure which of those boxes a conservative would say, yeah, that's a good influence on our election. I thought that was a brilliant case by Ann Ravel to lay out something that maybe could be a starting agreement point, just like 4177 was for us when they said no Republicans would back us and us. So, and yeah, I realize they're legal arguments and candidate versus issue, et cetera. I understand their issues, but at least to investigate these and send a message, that we're not just going to have three ties on everything. We really want, we want the FEC to be an effective enforcement tool. Now, I'll make the request from maybe some from the other political event, though. There are legitimate concerns that we have to overcome as conservatives on disclosure. I think things in a Wisconsin investigation, I think some people were targeted unfairly in that. Every time there are cases like that, it makes it harder and harder for us to push the case of disclosure. So, there's the case out in California from years back on, individual no longer being CEO who, because of a $1,000 contribution on the marriage amendment. I would just implore the other side to realize these are the issues that conservatives who want campaign finance reform have to fight through, and to whatever degree we can lessen the look that there's going to be targeting or retribution against people for speaking, the quicker we can get to broader and more complete disclosure.